Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Good morning. This program is sponsored by the Good News Christian Ministries. This is Donald Crisp. I'm the lead pastor of the First Baptist Church of Smiths Falls, and it is my privilege to bring the Good News message today. Now think of it. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is always wonderful to have God's people gather on God's day to hear God's word. That's what we're doing today. And now may God bless our hearing of this message. And may we commit ourselves not only to listen, but to listen with all our hearts. My prayer today is that God would bless us and encourage us and challenge us and comfort us. May God turn your heart and my heart toward home as he speaks to us and draws us near. My message today is entitled, Forgiven Forgivers. Forgiven Forgivers. I want us to listen to God's word for a moment from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. These are the words of the Apostle Paul, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Paul says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other," and here it is, "and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another." Here it is again. "Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you." Amen. The book Amish Grace is an incredible book. It recounts the story of a man by the name of Charles Carl Roberts IV. He was a 32-year-old truck driver from Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. He and his wife, Amy, had three children. The family attended church. 9 years earlier, their firstborn child, a daughter, died 20 minutes after her birth. Roberts was a deeply embittered man because of the death of his firstborn. It was October the 2nd, 2006, when Charles Carl Roberts carried his guns and his rage into an Amish schoolhouse near Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania. There were 26 students plus their teacher in that schoolhouse. And Roberts allowed the teacher and the boys to leave, but he kept the 10 girls, ages 6 to 13, with him. It was 11:05 a.m. that people heard three shotgun blasts as well as rapid-fire pistol shots. Charles Roberts shot all 10 girls in the head. 5 died, and 5 survived, and then he shot and killed himself. The response of the Amish community was incredible. Of course, they came alongside of those grieving parents. The whole community was grieving. Could you just imagine what this would have been like? But also, they lent support to Robert's wife and her children. As a matter of fact, they even attended his funeral, and they wept with her and her children. You see, folks, for the Amish community, forgiveness is simply understood as non-negotiable for a Christian. I want to address this issue of forgiveness today because I think it's an issue that we deal with time in and time out. And I believe it's a message that everyone, whether a person's a Christian or not, that they need to deal with. So here we go. Point number one. Forgiveness does not mean, I don't mind. It doesn't matter. Indeed, N.T. Wright observes, forgiveness does not mean I don't mind or it doesn't matter. The Amish community weren't saying that. They weren't saying, I don't mind, it doesn't matter. No, it does matter, and I do mind. But I know that I cannot allow this tragedy to define who I am. I am a Christian, and my Bible says, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. We need to make peace with the loving, forgiving God. And you know what? Kenny Rogers says it best in his song as he sings the love of God. He reminds us in that song that it's in you, Lord, that I'll find my peace. Let's listen to him sing. Forgive. Point number two is Christians are therefore defined as forgiven forgivers. There's a bumper sticker that we often see in cars that says Christians aren't perfect, they're just forgiving. Well, that's interesting. It's true, we are forgiven. But Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 to 32 address this issue. If the question is, why forgive? The answer in Ephesians is, forgive even as the Lord has forgiven you. The Chinese proverb says it from a different angle, but really gets our attention. It says, whoever opts for revenge should dig two graves. And then Anne Lamott said, not forgiving someone is like drinking rat poison and then waiting for the rat to die. Oh yes, forgiveness is risky, but it is the only road to freedom. The other road always leads to self-destruction. It was May 13th, 1981, when Mehmet Ali Aga, a Turkish Muslim, approached Pope John Paul II as he traveled into an open motorcade through St. Peter's Square in Rome. Standing only a few feet from the Pope, Ali fired a gun several times, critically wounding the Pope as four bullets struck his torso, right arm and left hand. Ali was apprehended immediately, while the Pope would spend the next 22 days in hospital. Pope John Paul's first statement following the attempted assassination was this: "Pray for my brother Ali, who I have sincerely forgiven." Did you know that 2 years later the Pope visited Ali in prison? They sat knee to knee, face to face, and the Pope held the hand of his would-be assassin as he was forgiving him. Time magazine captured that picture, and on January the 9th, 1984, that picture appeared on the cover of the Time magazine. And it was a picture of the Pope with Ali Aga, and with the caption underneath that had these words: "Why forgive?" You see, over the next 20 years, the Pope befriended Ali's family as well. Incredible. One of my favorite books that I'm reading now, and we're doing a study group at my church on it, it's by Brian Zond, entitled Radical Forgiveness. This is what he says: "We aren't just forgiven, we are forgiven that we might become practitioners of radical forgiveness." Isn't that powerful? We aren't just forgiven, we are forgiven that we might become practitioners of radical forgiveness. That's what a Christian is. We are forgiven forgivers. The third thing I want to say is really asking the question, what do we do with someone who asks for forgiveness? What do we do with someone who comes up and they've offended us, they've violated us, and they just say, "I'm sorry"? Is that enough? And I want to suggest to you, that's not enough. In asking for forgiveness, one must demonstrate, I believe, three things. They must demonstrate that they own it, they must own that offense, they must confess the offense, and they must demonstrate that they want to turn from it. Gary Chapman, his book on the languages of apology, brings this whole point up, and I'm calling it the five R's. He says that person who's asking for forgiveness should be demonstrating the five R's. They need to demonstrate remorse. We need to hear them say, "I'm sorry." But you know what? Not like a teenager or would say, "Hey, yeah, sorry about that." That's no. Remorse is a godly sorrow. And with a godly sorrow, we hear a person that's broken saying, "I'm so sorry." Secondly, with the second R is responsibility. They need to say, "I'm sorry," and again, a godly sorrow, but it also has to be them taking responsibility. We need to hear them say, "I was wrong." Thirdly, we need to hear them enter into that third R, restitution. They need to say, "You know what, I need to right this wrong." The fourth R is repentance. They need to say, "You know, and I need to turn from ever repeating this wrong again." And then we find ourselves in the land of reconciliation, change, where they can say, "You know, I've changed. I'll never return to that area where I'm doing those things again." Remorse, responsibility, restitution, repentance, reconciliation, moving quickly from, "I'm sorry, I was wrong, I need to right that wrong, I need to turn from that wrong, I need to change." And then the person has the challenge before them. Fourthly, granting forgiveness. Folks, whether people go through that process I just gave you or not, we still need to forgive them because the Lord has forgiven us. It's a choice. And I trust with this message we'll discover why. Granting forgiveness, let me tell you what it is not. Granting forgiveness or forgiveness is not forgive and forget. It's not saying, "Oh, it's okay, don't worry about it." You know what? It's not okay. Some truths about forgiveness. And Corrie ten Boom, who went through the concentration camps of Nazi Germany, where her father died, her sister died, many relatives died, this is what she said about forgiveness. Forgiveness is not an emotion. Forgiveness is not an emotion. Forgiveness is an act of the will. The will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. In other words, in granting forgiveness, we need to make that decision. It's a choice. Fifthly, how do we do it? How do we forgive? Again, we need to choose. We need to choose to release the issue to God. We need to choose to release the person to God. We need to choose to release the situation to God. We need to choose to set them free, because when they go free, or we set that situation free, then we go free. On the evening of April the 25th, 1958, a terrible tragedy happened on the campus of the University of Pennsylvania. A young Korean exchange student, a leader in student Christian affairs, he left his apartment, went to the corner to mail a letter to his parents in Korea. And just as he put that letter in the mailbox, he turned and there were 11 teenage boys standing in front of him. And they beat on him. They beat him so badly, they killed him and then they just left him in the gutter. All Philadelphia cried out for vengeance. The district attorney gave legal authority for those 11 boys to be tried as adults so that they could be given the death penalty. And shortly before the trial, a letter arrived from Korea addressed to the district attorney. It was a letter from parents and 20 other relatives of the murdered boy, and all of them signed it. And in part, this is what was in the letter. Quote, "Our family has met together, and we have decided to petition the most generous treatment possible within the laws of your government be given to those who have committed this criminal action. In order to give evidence of our sincere hope contained in this petition, we have decided to save money to start a fund to be used for the religious, educational, vocational, and social guidance of these 11 boys so that when they are released, we have dared to express our hope with a spirit received from the gospel of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and forgave us of our sins." End of quote. Wow. What a challenge for each one of us as we look at this whole issue of how to forgive. It's a choice. Release the issue. Release the person. Release the situation to God. You do that, and then you release yourself. You go free. I'm always reminded of Simon Wiesenthal, who spoke of forgiveness in his book called The Sunflower. He is an Austrian Jew who was imprisoned in a Nazi concentration camp in World War II. Wiesenthal was part of a work detail being taken from the concentration camp to do cleanup work in a makeshift hospital near the Eastern Front. As they marched from the prison camp to the hospital, they came across the cemetery for German soldiers. On each grave was a sunflower. Wiesenthal writes, quote, "I envied the dead soldiers. Each had a sunflower to connect him with the living world, and butterflies to visit his grave. For me, there was no sunflower. I would be buried in a mass grave where corpses would be piled on top of me. No sunflower would ever bring light into my darkness, and no butterflies would dance about my dreadful tomb." End of quote. You know, folks, Wiesenthal actually survived the Holocaust. But we're told that 89 of his members of his family did not. Can you imagine that? 89. While working at the field hospital, a German nurse ordered Wiesenthal to follow her. He was taken into a room where there was a lone SS soldier laying there dying. The SS soldier told his story to Wiesenthal, and he said, "I must recount my story to a Jew. One part of this story is as follows, quote, we gathered 300 Jews, men, women, children, and infants, and with whips drove them into a small three-story house. Then we set the house on fire. I gave the instructions that if anyone tried to escape by running out of the house, we were to shoot them." The SS officer said, "We heard the screams. We saw the flames devouring the house and the people in it. Some tried to escape, but we shot and killed them all. I shot an 8-year-old boy just before I did so. His eyes locked with mine, and then I killed him. Ever since then, I've been having horrible nightmares. I am now dying, and I needed to speak to a Jew. I needed to be released." He said, "I know that what I told you is terrible. I've longed to talk about it to a Jew and to beg forgiveness from a Jew. Only I didn't know if there are any Jews left. I know what I am asking is almost too much for you, but without your answer, I cannot die in peace." Folks, the second part of the book, The Sunflower, is a symposium of 53 prominent thinkers, Jews, Christians, atheists, philosophers, professors, rabbis. And Wiesenthal just places this question before them after telling them that story. Here's the question. Could you offer forgiveness to that SS soldier? 53 were asked that question. 28 said no. 9 said they couldn't answer the question. Odds are they were the philosophers. 16 said yes. Of the 16, 13 were Christians. Oh, what a question. What a situation. How do you even answer that question? Could you forgive? Well, you know what? Jesus said that because you've been forgiven, you must forgive. I'm reminded of the Armenian genocide of 1915 to 1917. 1.5 million Armenians were murdered by Ottoman Turks, and millions were raped and brutalized. A famous story of a Turkish army officer who led a raid upon the home of an Armenian family. He killed the parents and raped the daughters. After he finished with them, he gave the girls to a soldier to do as they would, but he kept the oldest girl for himself. She eventually escaped and was unable to go on with her life. She became a nurse, and strange as it seems, she found herself working in a ward for wounded Turkish army officers. One night, by the dim glow of a lantern, she saw among her patients the face of the man who had murdered her parents and raped her sisters and herself. She knew that without exception, he would die. What should she do? Sometime later, the doctor said to the Turkish officer, who is still alive, and he was alive only because of the exceptional nursing care that he got. The officer began thanking the girl, and then he recognized her. And then he said, "I don't understand. Why did you nurse me back to life? Why didn't you just let me die?" And she answered, "Sir, it's because I am a Christian, and the one that I follow said that I am to forgive and to love my enemies. I don't want to forget, but I do need to forgive." Wow, I can't even imagine this. Number 6, here's another story. This is entitled, "I Don't Want to Forget, But I Do Want to Forgive." Ingrid Betancourt, French Colombian senator, was kidnapped by revolutionary terrorists in the year 2002. She suffered deplorable treatment as a captive for 6.5 years in the jungles of Colombia. For nearly the entire time of her captivity, she was chained to trees and other prisoners. Shortly after her escape by Colombian security forces in the year 2008, she appeared on the Larry King Show. Larry asked Ingrid if she held any bitterness towards her captors, and this was her remarkable reply. She said, "I decided many years ago that when I was released, I wouldn't take out of the jungle any kind of bitterness or any kind of eagerness to seek revenge." And then she said, "I don't want to forget, but I do want to forgive." And so it is. So it is with all of us. So it is with all the people. When people have offended us, we need to make that decision to release it. We need to make that decision to forgive their sin, forgive their violation of us. And if we don't, we end up holding on to it. We nurse it, we rehearse it, we curse it, and we end up stuck. We end up immobilized. My friends, there's no future with unforgiveness. The way to release is the way of forgiveness. Desmond Tutu said, "The way of forgiveness does not forget the past, but through truth and reconciliation, it finds a way beyond our toxic memory." The way of forgiveness does not forget the past, but through truth and reconciliation, it finds a way beyond toxic memory. And indeed, Brian Zahn wrote, "Through the act of forgiveness, the past is not forgotten, but by faith in God's redemptive work, it comes to be viewed in a new way. The injustice is to be remembered, but it is not allowed to poison the present and therefore dictate your future." Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you that as believers, that we aren't just forgiven, but we are forgiven that we might become practitioners of radical forgiveness. Oh God, remind me, remind each of us today and every day that we are to be, as believers and followers of Jesus Christ, we are to be forgiven forgivers. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for forgiving each of us. Thank you for forgiving me, Father, of my sins. Thank you for my salvation that is found in none other than Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks, it's time for me to make a very important announcement. I made this announcement last week. Let me make it again right now. And I need to say it plainly and clearly that this ministry, we believe, is now in danger of going off the air because of financial contributions not coming in. The truth is, at the beginning of June, we were doing fine with financial gifts to the radio ministry. But since then, very few checks have come in. And now I need to be candid. This radio ministry costs just under $700 each week for the half hour of airtime. And to be clear, you need to know that Dr. Churchill and myself, we receive no honorarium, no payment whatsoever, no salary. This is a labor and ministry of love. So why the financial support? Why did it dry up? Well, you know what? We believe it isn't because people are not praying for this ministry or wanting to support. We believe it was the postal strike combined with summer. Those two things alone would cause us to forget or put it to the side, or, well, we need to bring it back on the table, I believe. So here's my challenge for each of us today. And what I've been doing is presenting you with the current and relevant facts and asking you to pray about this. Each of us need to pray about this. If this ministry is to continue, if this is God's will, then pray what God would have you do. Would you stop, think, and pray about this? And if God moves your heart, I trust that He'll also move your pen to write a check and make that check payable to the Good News Christian Ministries. The Good News Christian Ministries, and send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario. That's Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KLG 1WO. The message today about forgiveness and the message of Jesus Christ on the cross is so real and so relevant. As you pray about this financial challenge, would you also be reminded, even as Kenny Rogers is about to sing, "He Showed Me Love"? That's what the cross is about. He showed me love. And now may God bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you. May you live with courage, faith, and love. May you be grace agents for Christ in a world that hungers for hope, love, and truth. Amen.
From so far away, down the road of my own mistakes, in the hope you could hear me pray, "Oh Lord, keep me in your reach." How I've longed through these wasted years to outrun all the pain and fear, turn to stone from my uncried tears, and now it's your grace I see. Love won't compromise. It's a gift, it's a sacrifice my soul renewed and my heart released. In you I'll find my peace. Oh, wondrous child, of whom the angels sing, know my joy, feel my suffering. Shining star, make this love you bring so bright that I may believe. cross, my soul renewed, my spirit free. In you I'll find my peace.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.